This talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel Sensei at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is a resident teacher at the monastery and co-director of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
May each and every body, whether staying still or standing, have 10,000 blessings, 10,000 happinesses. So these are words that Dogen spoke on New Year's Day to his Sangha in 1200s. It's a traditional greeting on New Year's from monastics to teachers in Japanese monasteries. So here we are in what we call Fusatsu, which is a renewal of vows ceremony. It's sometimes translated as continuous good practice. And it's also in the threshold of New Year's Eve, in case you lost track of time. And then in Nenju, we say, I respectfully announce to everyone, since the parinirvana of the Tathagata, of the great master Tathagata, until this year, 2019, 2,505 years have passed to Trimber Mountain. So I'd like to focus the remaining time before midnight, aligning ourselves with ourselves, with our reality, finding a way to make a vow, and to set ourselves in a direction for our coming life that starts now. So first, let's put into place appreciation, the practice of appreciation. Appreciating all the causes and conditions that brought each of us here. This includes our mom and dad. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, whoever they are. Your coworkers, partners, communities. All the causes and conditions that brought you here. Let appreciate. To see ourselves as part of a web that has allowed each of us to show up for Dharma practice. And to take a moment to appreciate the millions of things that have come together and live together in order for us to take even another breath of air. We inhabit a living world of faces, colors, blue, voices, melons, and rain on the mountain landscape. And then to touch and appreciate your ancestors and your Dharma ancestors. And to know that when we touch them, in some way we touch ourselves, as we just chanted. When I touch Mahaprajapati, Ananda, others, their vows touch me. Mine extends back to them. When I touch my grandparents, whom I've never met, I touch their vows, and they touch mine. Knowing that we are from the same roots, in turn to see it is the same root of all beings. I've been working with a woman, Layla Syed, on a truth-telling journey, my own journey in white supremacy. And she says her vow is to learn to be a good ancestor with all that is here and that has ever been. So I am included in her vow, which is to live and work in ways that leave a legacy of healing and liberation for the next generations. So before entering the new year, let's absorb and immerse ourselves in the feeling of appreciation wherever you can make contact with it. Wherever you can find some appreciation. And then take the opportunity to reflect. Reflect on the past and present. And within that reflection, to make vows. And perhaps you've been doing this most of this day. And some of you who are just coming in, same thing. The beginning of a new year is a time that we can see as being fresh. It's like a new day, but it's a larger day. And it must reflect our sense that we need this reminder of enlargement. That we need the opportunity to begin fresh with a renewed purpose and direction. A realignment of our true north. I remember when Tetsugen Roshi, somebody said, he was speaking to him and they said, "I just retired." And he said, "Oh, you got new treads." And this returning and learning how to make our life fresh is a vital part of a practiced life, right? All that we hold on to and make mistakes on, or we can start fresh immediately. Again and again, something we make in our own body, that we speak in our own voice, and call our own. It's very personal, but it's very large. The Buddha realized that the absolute nature of all things, human and non-human, is free of or without any fixed characteristics. And that because of our human consciousness, because we think, because we have intention, we make decisions, because we perceive good and bad, perceive pain and pleasure, that everything we do has an effect that brings about pain or pleasure for the most part. Everything that we do, he realized, has a moral effect for ourselves and others. And Buddha said very directly, to begin practice, we have to stop creating harm. We have to begin to see and to practice and let go of inner and outer actions that create harm. Because how else can we expect to live in a way that's unhindered? Unless we stop hindering. How can we live a life that's not filled with harm if we are harming? They go hand in hand. But we have a very exuberant attachment to greed, anger, and ignorance, and the conflict it creates. And it really can just sideswipe our desire for practice. It hinders what is really our natural expression, because this exuberance seems to be so easy to do, like it almost feels natural. We might experience it as being natural. So we have to bring a lot of emphasis and pay keen attention all the time to what we do. Every precept begins here. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not speak of others' errors and faults. Do not be false. Do not cloud your mind. Not honor anyone's embodiment. Don't elevate yourself and blame others. Don't be withholding. Don't be angry. Don't defile the three treasures. And when we make a vow, in order to practice and fulfill that vow, we have to be really intimately connected to how we can undo it as well. This is why we call in renewal. And the precepts are in complete understanding and embracing of our capacity to create harm, and at the same time, it's pointing really high in our capacity to care and so completely love this life. So to practice a vow, we have to know within ourselves our own little weasels. Like the wind in the willows. When nobody's home, nobody's watching, they're home, the weasels came. The ways that we like to shift, you know, to undermine the vow. And also to know when we do that, that's not just us. Those connections are very widespread. So we have to become transparent to ourselves, fearless to see, to accept, and practice everything that is undignified, that is hateful, that is jealous, all of it. We have to practice all of it. This kind of raw honesty. Like to say, yes, I have greed. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm ignorant. I'd much rather talk to someone who, that's where we started, both me and them, acknowledging, yeah, I'm greedy, weasel. And I think being at one is misunderstood. Like when we say being one with. Like just because we atone, it's not like poof, it's over. Just because we said, now I atone for it all. All evil karma created by me since of old on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance. Now I atone for it all. And that I'll walk out of here and not do it again, do some harm again. So what is being one with? Yes. Yes, I'm greedy. Yes. How can I appreciate my greed, anger, and ignorance as an expression of my life? Work with it. Deal with it. Usually we don't take these things as something that should be appreciated. And when we do, we can really appreciate and discover that every attachment is liberating when it's released. Every form of ignorance is illuminating when it's seen through. This is why we begin this fusatsu right from the get-go, on our knees, all evil karma ever created by me since of old. Now I atone for it all. And then we move within this mind of acceptance and appreciating what we do. We go to the vows. I vow to save all sentient beings, because we know what we're up against. We can practice and transform because our karma is not fixed. We can really live our life to the fullest potential with our greed, anger, and ignorance. It's possible. It's saying, yes, this has happened. Yes, this is happening, and I will work with it. With this attitude, what is dying in us is the willingness to be in denial. No longer. We can no longer be. And this is a very beautiful attitude. That we can no longer deny. No, no. Bring it on. I have to face it. We have to. We have to have it. We have to come face to face with ourselves and allow ourselves to atone for the grudges, the pain, and the trembling we've experienced. And how I can appreciate that within myself, that's how much I can appreciate that in others. And if I don't give myself a chance to start a new life every second, or at least every day, I won't give other people a second chance either. And we have a chance to do this continuously. Someone asked me, why do we always focus on harmful karma? This yes to all harmful karma actually assists us to this place to be able to turn towards what we know is true. So by saying yes, that's actually assisting us to turn and hold ourselves to it. It empowers us. It allows us to make whatever harm that we've created beneficial. I didn't write it down, but what popped into my head was purchasing horse manure. And, it's not something that we want to actually face and look at, some of us, most of us perhaps. But yet, that very excrement, is going to be the complete nourishment for the food we eat. So it's so beneficial. It's so beneficial. And so it is important that we don't ignore the good, because that too has been instrumental in bringing us to this place. Again, to bring in this quality of appreciation of the life we have. Shugen Roshi recast it. He said once, the Gatha of Atonement could be recast as the Gatha of Appreciation. All beneficial karma, on account of my beginningless generosity, compassion, and wisdom, born of my body, mouth, and thought, now I dedicate this to each and every body. Appreciating all the causes and conditions that brought us here. So each of us here has had an encounter, a person, a teaching, a conversation that introduced us to the Buddha Dharma, which led us to some investigation, some exploring, and we found our way here. A whole host of past actions that we ourselves have each taken. There's this notion in Japan called ikigai. It's translated as the reason for which you wake up in the morning. And if this notion is not addressed carefully, especially when we retire, those who retire, it reduces life expectancy. So this reason you wake up in the morning infuses our entire life. And what that reason is might shift. There's a group of, they're called Nicoyans in Costa Rica, and they use the term plan de vida, describing having a long sense of purpose. So perhaps vows are just like this, why we make them, as a conduit for our life energy to address the reason we get up in the morning. Otherwise, our energy will be really scattered. We might squander it, harboring that question, that sad question, what happened? Where did it all go? How did I end up here? So just after midnight, we're going to chant the Heart Sutra and the Metta Sutta. And we'll have an opportunity to go up and silently say to ourselves our vow. So what is this vow for you? There's a delight in a vow that comes out of our body, out of our heart, out of practice, that arises not from what we should do or what we ought to do, but from our deepest understanding of where we are now and what it is we truly want to do, perhaps. So it's your language, it's your expression, really. All that matters is that it speaks to you. And we can make our vow our life. You can make your vow you. And then it's harder to break because it's you. It's who you are. A very alive bundle of focused energy. So as you come up to offer incense, keep it close to you. Keep the vow you. Keep it you. Be inside of it. And that's what gives it power. It needs to be able to serve us, serve you, in moments, every day, so that something can change, so that somebody can change. They're mysterious, how they work. If you find out how that happens, I would like to know. I don't know. They can be returned to and renewed again and again. It reaches into a place I can't even think about it. There's no fixed goal, no expectation. It doesn't work on a timeline. It's vast and open and amazingly in perfect accord with all circumstances. There's a story about a Japanese monk. He was a teacher from the Middle Ages, and his name was Tetsugin, who vowed to print the entire Buddhist sutras in Japanese because they hadn't been printed yet. And he went all around Japan begging and raised money to print the sutras for everyone. And just when he raised enough money to have the printing blocks carved, there was an earthquake. So he took the money, and instead of printing the sutras, he used it to feed and clothe people who were suffering. And even though all these people had given him money for this one thing he used it in a way he felt was appropriate. And then he went around Japan again, fundraising for the Tripitaka, an entire collection of the Buddhist canon and Buddhist sutras. And he had almost raised the money again when there was an epidemic. And once again, he spent all the money that he had raised to take care of orphan children and people who needed help. And finally, he went around one more time. I can't believe there were all these wonderful donors. You know, when I read that, I was like, wow, you're going to really try that again? That's a vow. And he raised the money again. And at last, he did produce the first Japanese rendering of the entire Tripitaka. And when this story, it said, is told in Japan, they say his first two vows were the deepest and most holy. So when we set ourselves in a certain direction, we don't know what will happen. I found unexpectedly the Dharma. It changed my life. I did residency. I had no thought whatsoever of becoming a monastic. Didn't even know what it was till I was in it. It turned again. I set myself monastic vows. And so far, so good. But we don't know. But what we can do is be one with our vow. Be at one with the wisdom of who we are. Dogen concludes, make each moment the top of your head. Don't regard the vows as the beginning, and don't regard it as going beyond. Even if you see it as a beginning, kick it away. Even if you see it as going beyond, stomp on it. Then you're not bound by beginning or going beyond. You're free. We are free. We can offer a lot to the world, but the world offers us a lot too. We're always in relationship. And the way to notice that, to see that, is to be present to everything, our trembling and our joy. Let your vow speak to what you want to bring alive in this year. 10,000 blessings, 10,000 happinesses, everyone. And since I have this here, and this is on my mind as well, I'd like to read a letter from Shugen being with his mother, Nels. Hi. I wanted to send a brief note from the mountains here in North Carolina. My mother continues to live into her dying with a fair amount of calm and humor. She's had some agitation and fear during the nights, but this has been quieted down with some medication. She's really just skin and bones now. a testimony to the will and resilience of the body and mind to continue. I think she both wants to pass into death and to keep living at the same time. So we just keep sitting with her, keeping her comfortable, and witnessing her inner process as she works out this final bit of time. She was wanting some chocolate yesterday, so I got some chocolate ice cream and spoon-fed her little tastes. I thought of how she had done that for me at the beginning of my life, and so the cycle completes itself. She also brings out the odd memories and images at any given moment. It's like seeing into the mind and how it continues processes of consciousness, sorting, processing, expressing. She's also been asked to be cooled down with open doors, cold hands, and ice, though her skin feels normal. It's as though there's a burning within that's releasing the fire element. I'm thinking of all of you, sitting with you each morning in the dark of the North Carolina sky. Life and death are of supreme importance. This is the truth, not a lie.
This talk was given by Jody Hojin Kimmel Sensei at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is a resident teacher at the monastery and co-director of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you'd like to make a donation or find out more about our retreats and residency programs, visit our website at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.